In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On the sixth day, the Lord revealed his glory on a mountain. He did not set aside his human body, but his glory, his divinity, shone through that human body as he pulled back the veil of his humility for just a brief moment. He is one with the Father. He is one with the Holy Spirit. And so the glory, majesty, and power of Father, Son, and Father and Spirit is his also. He always had it. He never was without it. But even as he walked on this earth in his humility, he possessed it. He just veiled it for a time. He hid it, for he had come for a greater purpose. But as the Lord revealed his glory, and as the Holy Spirit enveloped them in the cloud, and the Father spoke, three sinners fell down on their faces in fear. The Lord is too much for them. Sinners cannot stand in the presence of a holy God, for their sinfulness is brought to light, and they realize just how far short of the Lord's glory they come. As Moses and Elijah appeared on that holy mountain, they do not tremble with fear, for they have already been sainted. They have already been fully set free from sin, not just simply inwardly, but outwardly as well. And though they stand in awe and reverence and holy fear of Christ, they do not tremble with the fear that grips sinners. As they stand with Christ in his glory, they speak with him in a heavenly conversation. And St. Luke writes that they spoke about his suffering, death, and resurrection. This is what heaven continues to talk about. So this is what these two holy men talked about. And this is what we busy ourselves to talk about this very day. St. Peter interrupted that heavenly conversation, for he wanted to push the cross into the background so he could live in this transfigured glory just a little bit longer. St. Luke also adds he did not know what he was saying. For it is necessary for the Christ to suffer first and then to enter his glory. He had come not simply to be glorified on some earthly mountain, but he had come to save fallen man so they might live without fear and trembling. So they might also be taken up into the glory of heaven. This glory is yours right now, the glory of Christ. You have his perfection right now. You have freedom from sin even right now. But right now it's also veiled. It's hidden from your eyes, even as Christ's glory was hidden from the disciples' eyes as he walked down that mountain. So the sinful flesh still burdens you. The effects of sin still plague you in this life. And as you stand in the presence of a holy God, which you are this very moment, you too can tremble with fear as your own sinfulness and unworthiness is thrust into the foreground. You know your failures. You know how far short you have come from the Lord's glory. You know your own inadequacies, your own faults, your own shortcomings. You have guilt and regrets. And so it's strange that St. Peter would want to remain on that mountain in transfigured glory as a sinner, even as it is strange that you and I want to stay on this earth as long as possible as sinners. So much burdens us. So much causes us stress and worry, and we lose sleep over so many things. So like St. Peter, we also want to push that cross into the background. Just put it off for a little bit. We want the glory now. We want this transfigured, marvelous, glorious Christ now. We want to avoid the hardships of life, the pain and the sufferings, the cross that is placed on our shoulders. But we can't. We follow Christ. And so we pick up our crosses and follow him. We go where he leads, we walk in his footsteps. First the cross, then the glory. It's painful at times. It's extremely hard at other times. But this is the way of Christ, so this is the way of us Christians. First the cross, then the glory. But often as we follow Christ, we are meandering around instead of diligently following. Yet Christ patiently leads us. Hear him, the Father speaks. He speaks those words to you as well. Listen to Christ. It's his word, not the pastor's word and not your word. This is Christ's word, and this is how he leads you. He guides you through his word. So listen to him, for by that word, he shows you where we are going. And it's not to a mountain of transfiguration. Oh, that's where we want to go because we want the glory now. We want to avoid the suffering in the cross. But he doesn't lead us there. Instead, he leads us straight to Calvary. It's what Moses and Elijah talked about. It's what heaven continues to talk about. And so it's what we continue to discuss. The angels can't get enough of this God who was crucified. The saints delight to proclaim all that he has done for them. He is the God of the cross, the God who bleeds and dies, the God who suffers, the God of weakness and humility and shame and pain. Because that is his true glory. So on the sixth day, the Lord revealed his glory on a sacred mountain as he was lifted up on a cross for all to see. He's not being embarrassed, but he is glorious as he hangs there. For Satan is rendered powerless, crushed, and defeated. Hell is extinguished, and heaven is opened. His blood spares you from the angel of death, sets you free from the land of slavery, and brings you into the promised land of heaven. His death was for you in your place, so that you who believe in him might live and never die, but by a fiery chariot ascend out of this world and into the realms of heaven. For Christ, first the cross, then the glory. For he had come first to save mankind, you and me, from our sin and death, so we might share in his glory. So stop interrupting him. Stop wanting to push that cross into the background. And listen. Listen when he speaks. Only then will your fears subside. Listen to his word. He doesn't tell you about the deep mysteries of the Godhead. He doesn't explain to you the profound majesty of his two natures, yet one person. He doesn't show you how you can be the best version of yourself. Instead, he talks about his death. He talks about his shame and his suffering, his pain, his humiliation. It's what Moses and Elijah spoke about as they walked this earth. It's what Moses wrote about. It's what is written from Genesis to Revelation, Christ crucified. The entirety of Scripture points to him and his glory found on that sixth day on Calvary. And so his pastors are to preach the same, for only at the foot of the cross will you have no fear, because only there, at the foot of the cross, do you find a Savior. You find the God-man, covered not in brilliant light, but covered in saving blood shed for you. You find the Lamb of God slain, yet also now living, a Lamb who has set you free. He transfigured, but he did not change who he was. He will not, for he will never stop being your Savior. And today as he reigns in glory, seated at the very right hand of God, above all names, dominions, powers, and principalities, he still will not stop being your Savior. So he comes to you this day to save you, to speak to you his word, and yes, even to touch you, to calm your fear. Arise, he says. Do not fear the ancient serpent. Do not fear the world and all its vices. Do not fear your own sinful flesh, your own sins, faults, failures, or shortcomings. Do not fear your own inadequacies. Do not fear whether you are a good enough parent or you're handling retirement properly. Do not fear the loss of a loved one. Do not fear age or death. Do not even fear standing in the presence of the Lord of glory. For the Lord of glory has been lifted up for all to see. You are saved. You are forgiven. And nothing can ever change that. As good as your week may have been, or as bad and painful and difficult as that week may have been, it cannot change the fact that He is your Savior and you are forgiven. Listen as He speaks to you about His flesh that was torn for you and His blood that was shed for you. So everything will be okay. It will. For He is still your Savior. More than that, everything will be glorious when you ascend into heaven to live with Him. But first the cross, then the glory. Christ's cross is His glory, and so our crosses that we bear are our glories as well. It's painful, yes, but we are patiently waiting for the return of our glorious Savior. Then what you know now by faith, you will know in full. And what you now see by faith, you will see with your own two eyes. And yet your conversation will not change, for you will still delight to speak about Him who died and rose for you, and your eyes will be fixed on those two pierced hands and that open side. He is your delight now and forever. So don't give me this Jesus who is transfigured on a mountain. If He were to appear right now, we'd all end up on our faces, trembling with fear. But give me the God of the cross. Give me the God who bleeds and dies. Give me the God who saves me. For that is His glory. And that is the God who comes to you in the Holy Supper, so that you might share in His glory forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.